Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are seven pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all seven areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all seven areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all seven areas of life? You got this.
Hi, Lindsay Marie. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant Show.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing so good. I'm so excited to have a men's dating and relationship coach on the show. I have so many questions. But first, let me tell my listeners a little bit about you. So, well, first of all, we've known each other for like 10 years and we met at a really cool meditation event and we've stayed in touch ever since. So we do have an awesome personal friendship. But let me tell you about her professionally, because I'm blown away with what she's achieved in the last few years. So Lindsay is a men's dating and relationship coach. She specializes in helping men find their ideal form of romantic relationship, whether that's passionate soulmate, committed partnership, or casual lover, and get this, 90 days or less. Freaking amazing. She supports men in elevating a current partnership, as well as healing from past relationships and divorce. So the first question is, how did you become a men's dating and relationship coach?
Well, Rebecca, that's an interesting story.
I love a good story. Tell me.
Because I always had a hard time with dating and relationships myself. I had a few long-term codependent relationships in my youth. And then after that, they were just always like, either like really passionate and then flat. And like, I could just never get a guy who would actually like commit to me. Like, and then I started coaching several years ago, and I started coaching in career mostly. And then somehow I ended up like in this group coaching program, I ended up coaching people in relationships. It just sort of like happened. And then it happened to be more men. And then it happened to be that they were getting really great results working with me. And then some of my mentors were like, yeah, I think you should, I brought it up to them, and they were like, yeah, I think you'd be really good at that. And I still like didn't really have the relationship that I wanted, you know, either. And I was like, well, is that okay? Can I do that? Can I coach people in something that I don't have?
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, of course, that's the whole purpose of transformational coaching, like a therapist. a marriage and family therapist is not necessarily married, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
But you are in a relationship now. So we were chatting before we hit record, you have a great romantic partnership. So do you think that coaching men helped your own love life?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so like, it like took off as soon as I started coaching men, because I started to empathize with men and understand them instead of coming from my own like hurt from the past or just being insecure around them. It was beautiful.
It's so amazing when we humanize the opposite sex, that they're just people, but we have all these, you know, labels about the opposite sex and what they should or shouldn't be doing and what they can do for us and what we should be for them. But when we just empathize and have compassion and humanize them, it's amazing what comes out of that.
Exactly.
So what is the number one? Now we're getting into the good stuff, ladies, about what you want to know about men and could never ask. This is the men's dating coach here. So she's going to give us the real deal. So what is the number one quality that men are looking for in women?
Well, it actually depends on where a man is at in his life. Mm-hmm. I would say the number one thing that you want a man to like appreciate about you is actually your body.
Okay.
You want him to be attracted, sexually attracted to you, because men thrive off of attention and affection from women. And that's also the polarity, the masculine feminine polarity. That means you are in your, and men and women can both be in masculine or feminine, but it right. means that you're in your opposite when you're together. So that's going to continue to attract you to each other over time. The other thing that I would say that men really want from women is they want that empathy. They want that understanding. And they want a woman who can communicate exactly what she's feeling and what she wants, not like all over the place. Well, you did this. And like, I feel like a statement, like, I feel like you don't like me. That's not actually really saying how you're feeling, you know?
Right. That's not a feeling.
Yeah. 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 A woman who can connect with, I'm feeling unsafe right now. A woman who, ignites his hero, like, desire to provide and protect. And as women, especially in 21st century, we've put our like masculine guard up for the sake of being very successful in the business world or with having children. And we can take that out into the relationship too and become more masculine than our partner. And then that kills, then he wants to protect too. So he wants to protect himself too. So then it's two masculine heads butting against each other. And when I say being feminine, I don't just mean being like, okay, sure, whatever you want. Like, oh yeah. I don't mean not like that. It's that you're communicating actually your feelings, connecting really into your heart and coming from a place of love. Like men want, though they might not say directly, I want love, you know, on a date, they're really looking for love and acceptance. They're looking for a woman who can communicate her emotions in as best as she can, you know, in a loving way and open up to receiving his masculine love.
That's interesting, because I know growing up, I felt like we were taught to play hard to get. And it's like, oh, don't let a guy know you like him because he'll go running off to the hills. But as I got older and I did study the art of feminine and masculine energy, it is very feminine to be vulnerable and to share your feelings with men. That is being feminine.
Exactly.
And that's what they want.
And it's not about playing hard to get, but it's about inviting them versus like saying like, you got to do this. And, oh, would you like to, and not even inviting with a question necessarily, but just inviting with, a sweet message about how much fun you had and a flirtation, and your energy. A lot of it is really in your energy.
Let's go back to body. You said the most important thing is that a man is attracted to your body. So there's a great feminist movement that I'm a huge part of. And it's like, everybody is a bikini body. Every woman at every size and type is perfect just the way they are. So what do men think? Are they looking for women with curves? Are they looking for the little like anorexic supermodel that, you know, eats like, you know, three pieces of sushi a day? Like, what are they looking for in a woman's body?
Yeah. Yeah. So every man has a different attract. They're attracted to different women. Now, when you see a supermodel, like everyone's like attracted to them. Like it's not like we've been a program to like, when we see the supermodel, be like, oh, that's what beauty is. Like that's right. Like on TV with all the music and everything. But men themselves are often, most men, well, I wouldn't say most men, but a lot of men are attracted to very curvy women. A lot of men are attracted to women who are like more their size. Mm-hmm. Some men are attracted to women who are much smaller than them. Some men are attracted to bigger women. I keep saying it backwards. Like there's for every human being on the planet, there's 7 billion people more than that on the planet. There's a match. Like there's some guy who likes your body exactly as it is. Like even, and if they are really like polarized to you sexually, they might even like you, even if you're a different body type than they are.
Right.
So like my boyfriend, like he was grew up and he was a model and he was always attracted to the super skinny, like anorexic looking, like maybe not anorexic, but very waify. He calls it waify. He was like, I was always into those waify girls. And I was like, well, I actually asked him straight up. I was like, well, do you like my body? Like, I was like, are you cool with this? And he was like, yeah, oh my God, I'm so attracted to you. And like every day, every time he sees me, he's like, gosh, you're so hot. Oh my God, your body is like so amazing. Like he's always, he's very expressive about that. Not all guys are as expressive about that, but yeah, I think actually just asking straight up. So, hey, and not from a place of need either, but like, hey, are you attracted to this? What do you think?
Does this work for you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and like, is this going to work for you? Like if you want a long-term relationship, is this something that you would, do you see yourself like being attracted to me long-term?
Exactly. And also personality type wise, because I just posted on my Instagram yesterday, you know, the one woman that drove the guy crazy and was so annoying is another man's dream girl.
Exactly.
So I feel like there's a lid for every pop body shape wise and personality wise.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, men really want understanding and acceptance, but there's when your different personalities are going to relate to that in different ways. So that's why, yeah, certain, if you as a woman are very dominant in your energy, you're going to want to find a guy who's cool with you being dominant sometimes, you know, who's cool with you switching between masculine and feminine energy. I totally agree with you.
That is awesome. So what confuses men about women? What do your dating clients go like, oh my God, Lindsay, translate for me. I'm so confused. She did this. What was that?
There's a couple things. One is denying sex, like denying sex. Like she doesn't want to have sex with me. People, some of the guys that I coach who are in relationships or marriage already. And then the other one I would say, which actually probably leads to the denial of sex is him not listening to her in the way that she wants to be listened to. Mm. So I know you've had Alison Armstrong on the podcast before. And so it's that like, as women, and we don't even necessarily know this about ourselves, but when we want to express ourselves emotionally or have intense emotions, we just want to get it out. We just want to vomit it. Like Allison says, like, yeah, just get it out. And if some guy is like, well, where's this really coming from? Or like, it's like, I don't understand you. I don't get you. Or like, or he leaves. Maybe he just leaves. You know, that happens a lot.
He has to fix it and come up with solutions. And we're like, I don't want a solution. I just want to puke. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you do that, it actually puts a forces a woman to be in masculine energy instead of feminine energy. And they don't get it because it works so well for them to like think about the problem and how to fix it. And so supporting them and just like listening, like learning how to just be like, okay, honey, anything else, you know, anything else. I'm sorry that you feel that way. A lot of communication stuff too, especially with them being able to listen beyond that. Cause a lot of times still, even with women with best intentions, can't communicate what they're actually feeling. They're saying something else. So be able to not put their guard up. Men, as men, like masculine, if your man or a guy you're dating ever puts his guard up, that's because you didn't actually express what you were feeling. You were coming from some place of judgment or like even mildly, or fear. And so I think that they don't, they don't understand why women can't be so direct like they are. And once they understand that it's that emotions are different, they're, and they come out differently, and that they're actually a representation of how they're showing up in the world. And it's not just she's doing that and like, what's wrong with her? It's like, oh, there's something going on in me. And this is how it relates to the sex piece. Like when guys are like, I don't know why she doesn't have, especially in long-term marriages, if a woman's had a hysterectomy or a baby or something like that, I don't understand why she won't have sex with me. Like, why won't she have sex with me? And that's also a thing that most men want in a relationship is sex, consistent sex, very important to them, even though they would probably never say, most of them would never say that directly out loud. Like if they're looking to be in a long-term partnership or a marriage. And so they, when they approach you with that, they're not allowing you to feel and express and become comfortable. And it's in a long-term marriage, a lot of times they've lost that art of chasing you. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, hey, babe, they show up and they're like, roll over and like, try to do it right there, you know? And, or there's something that was the other day, you were trying to communicate your feelings and he like totally did that. I'm going to solve the problem for you. And you're like, well, I'm smart. Like I can do it. Like, don't solve my problem for me in my head. Like he didn't even listen to me. I'm not going to have sex with him. Like, I don't feel connected to him at all. So, that's how all of it, like emotional intimacy, I teach them how to communicate in that way. And really as a woman, I would say the number one thing you want to say is, hey, honey, I really just want you to listen right now. Cause I have some things to say and they might seem even a little like intense, but I just want to get it out, honey. And I would feel so happy, man language. If you ever say, it would make me so happy. That's a great way to start off any sentence to a man.
Yeah. Happy is a powerful word.
Yeah. Cause that's what they want more than anything is to make you happy. So it would make me so happy. If you would just like listen and hold space for me, you don't need to say anything. I just really, really need someone to be here with me right now while I express how I'm feeling. And then when I get it out, if I want you to say anything back, like to help me with solving the problem or to help me with anything, I'll let you know, but I probably don't.
Yeah. Just literally you have to tell them how you want to be listened to. Like, I do want a solution. This is what happened at work. Da 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 da. Or I don't want a solution. I just want you to listen to me puke out my emotions for as long as it takes me. And I'll let you know when I'm done. And it's like literally holding someone's hair back when they're puking over the toilet. They're done when they're done, right? And that's how women need to purge. And I can understand how if a woman doesn't feel like she's being listened to, and if she feels like she's being dismissed emotionally, that she wouldn't want to have sex, because that's a huge turnoff for women if they feel like their emotions are being dismissed.
Exactly.
So it's like, why would I give him, you know, my body and be so intimate with someone who doesn't even care about how I feel? So I'm sure that's a big piece in coaching men, is to really teach them how to listen to women so that women feel heard and understood and feel like the men cares about how they feel, not just that they're a body or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is something women do that turn men off?
Okay. So, over texting is one, and also getting, upset when he doesn't text back. Though I do coach my guys to respond and say, "Hey, I'm busy. I'll get back to you later." Like I do.
Thank God. That was such a trigger for me when I, even in like with friendship, like when I text and someone doesn't get back to me, it just, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm from Ohio and we're taught to respond to everyone like within 24 hours. If someone doesn't respond, I'm like, oh my God, that person is just so self-obsessed and rude.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that what you just said there too, is when a woman, taking your internal thought, right? Like when she expresses that, like you're just so judgment, like interpreting what's going on and making a judgment about it without like actually just asking, like, "Hey, is this what's going on, or is this what you meant?" And also, a lot of guys who want a long-term relationship are actually turned off by a woman who's sexually aggressive on the first like couple of dates. Like that's a red flag. So, if you've had experiences where you feel like you need to be like really sexual with the guy to get him to like you, that's not the case with guys who are looking for a long-term relationship. Other thing I would say is unless if he's a more feminine man, which there are, I've had two boyfriends who were very feminine in their energy, my first two long-term ones, because I was so masculine. But if you're with a masculine guy and you're the one, you're trying to direct the date, like, and direct everything and plan everything, and like you're the one reaching out saying, "Hey, when are we going to meet up next?" Or, "Hey, where are we? Let's go here." And then even on the date, you're the one asking all the questions, like you're interviewing him. Mm-hmm. Those are all very masculine qualities, which again, nothing wrong with having those in yourself. It's just, you want to evoke, feminine is like, "I could do that. I can do everything that a man does, but isn't it so much nicer just to let him do it for me?" Like that's a way. Yeah. So evoking from him, those things, like, just being quiet for a few minutes. Like even I swear with my boyfriend, I'll have like a question in my mind or like something that I want to talk about it. And I'll just like be present with him and think about it. And then he brings it up. It's like,
wow,
I've never had this happen so much. Like it happens a lot. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I totally get it. So are you saying that women shouldn't initiate any texting or phone calls during dating?
Not any. But very minimally. Yeah. So especially in the beginning, I mean, I would say even wait for like after the date, like don't let him text you first to say, "Hey, it was really nice to go on a date with you last night." And same thing with setting up the date. What you can do though, is you can say like, "Hey, look, I do really like you. And I just want you to know," like this is face to face. "I do really like you. And I just want you to know that consistency is really important to me. It makes me feel so good. Like when I know like the guy's like into me too, he's going to text me back and he's going to communicate what's going on. So I'm just wondering like how often do you see yourself going on dates with me?" Cause women actually, we feel into the space which the men allow us. So like if there's no date planned, you're going to feel anxious like the whole time until you know, yes, until you know when the date is planned. Now you don't have to explain it to him that way.
Right.
But you want to say, hey, yeah, I really want to date someone like the guys that, even if you're dating multiple guys, like I really want to date a guy that I like I want to go out with him at least once a week. Like, is that something that you're down with? Cause some guys are super busy and they can't commit to that, but then, you know, and you can decide like, okay, well, am I okay? Like seeing this guy once a month, if that's what happens while I'm dating other guys. But when you communicate it to him, then he knows. And again, it's back to that masculine provider. You're giving him the opportunity to make you happy by telling him what you want instead of chasing it.
Exactly. And you think saying that on a first date, what would make me really happy is to date someone once a week. You don't think that would run him off?
I think it would depend on how you say it. Cause yeah, he might not have decided yet.
Right.
But I would say like, if you said in general, like yeah. Consistency is really important to me and I know it's our first date and not asking you to like commit to anything yet, but I just want you to know that I like to date guys once a week. Is that like something that you're open to?
Yeah.
And when you say open to, he can say yes, no, or he needs to think about it, you know, like, it's not a hard question. Most people that I work with, they do that. Like if they have like a video chat date or like a first date, a lot of them don't say that until the second date. But think about it. Dating is sorting. If you want like a super amazing guy, like a king, like a guy who can talk about anything, like you don't want to hold back on that stuff. You know,
yeah.
I coach guys actually to talk about their sexual, like how much sex they like to have in that same way. But from a place of like, yeah, I'm not expecting it to happen right now, but I like to have, you know, sex 5 days a week, you know, or is that something that would be comfortable for you in a relationship? Like, I just want to know so that I make sure that we're both happy.
That's great.
Yeah.
So how often do most of your clients want to have sex? How many times a week?
It's usually, yeah, between 5 times to every day.
Wow. So, you must be coaching some young men.
Yeah. Some of them are in their 40s. I coached one guy in his 60s.
What's the average age of your client?
I would say... Yeah, I think the average age, I don't know they're so all over the place. I was like, I don't know what's the average of that.
But what are most of your clients, like what age group are the majority in?
30 to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that they want to be that sexually active.
But another thing that they do say, though, is that they're willing to wait.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How long are they willing to wait if they really like a woman to have sex? Because I know there's other dating coaches that say like, wait 90 days, wait until you have exclusivity before you have sex. Like, how long are they willing to wait?
It really depends on the guy. I mean, really, it's not, there's no rule.
Do you feel like having guys wait for sex? Okay. Is important, or is it?
I think having them wait before there's some level of commitment, whatever level of commitment is comfortable for you. Like, are we committed to being monogamous? Are we going to get married? I mean, you could, it's on the other end, whatever's comfortable to you. I do think though, baseline, there should be some discussion about what the relationship is. Like what the expectations are in the relationship. And if you want a monogamous relationship, like committed monogamous relationship, even if it doesn't have a title yet, like boyfriend, girlfriend, but like, that's what you want. And you ask the guy, hey, is this what you want too? Like, and you don't need to say, I'm not going to have sex with you until you commit to me. Like, you don't want to like say that, but like, it's just saying like, I don't feel safe I don't feel safe having sex outside of like a committed relationship. And I know we just started, we've only been dating for a month and a half, like not even 90 days, like a month and a half. But this is what I want. So either we can talk about that now, what that relationship could look like, or we can wait. We can wait a little bit longer. I just want to make sure you're okay with that, because that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. So my partner, he is very sexual, and we only waited till the fourth. And I'm very sexual too. Actually, I'm very sexual too. I'm usually like, gosh, how am I going to wait 90 days? How am I going to wait that long? Like I'm going to, I've never waited that long ever, but, in this case, he did commit to me. He did commit to, I mean, he's like, yeah, I know we haven't been dating that long, but I'm not going to be dating other people anymore. And I'm only going to have sex with you. The way he had shown up very consistently in his communication, text, and we had had all those conversations that we've talked about already. I've trusted him in that. So I trusted him in that. So after the fourth day, we started having sex, and he told me later, he was like, I could have waited maybe like one or two more dates, but that was not any more than that. I would have moved on. Like, and he's a really great guy, like very successful, really great guy but he values sex a lot. Like, now some of the other guys that I coach, they'll actually wait, until marriage. I have some guys that would be okay with getting, or maybe engagement, like getting to that point. Like, and these guys still want to have sex like five times a week too. So it's not that they're not sexual, but they have different values. Most guys, I would say, want to, like, cause it's the way that they express and feel love, even though it's not love for them. Like, it's not what makes them love you, but right. It's how they feel it. Like their expression of it. Mm-hmm. So they're going to want to have sex with you sooner oftentimes than you are. But if you just say, hey, I really appreciate how into me you are. And like, you make it fun, like a game, like they're still chasing me. I see how attracted to me you are. And like, I love sex, but I just really want to wait because it's going to be so much better when we're like committed to each other. And like, we know that we want this relationship. It's going to be so much more powerful for both of us. And it's going to make me so happy again.
Happy. There's that word again. So do most of your clients want a monogamous committed relationship, or do they want casual lovers?
Majority of them want a monogamous committed relationship. I have one client who wants a hierarchical polyamorous relationship. And then I have
what a couple. Mean? I know polyamorous. Does that mean S&M hierarchical?
No, hierarchical means like there's a primary partner. So he wants a woman to build a life with, and they're committed to each other. They're committed to each other in their partnership, but they can both go play with other people sexually and emotionally, like have other love relationships, but those ones are secondary to the.
Right.
The
okay. Got yeah. it.
And then a couple other guys who, a lot of the guys want to date casually, because a lot of the guys that I work with have had come out of divorce or a breakup, and they're healing from that. And they never really like dated. Actually, they just fell into relationships. So I do have like several guys that want to date casually, but they want to be in a relationship eventually. So, which is actually what dating is, you know, like dating, like what it's supposed to be is like dating multiple people at the same time. Ladies, I would recommend that. Dating at least three guys at the same time. And you can, I mean, if you're seeing, you can say, like, I actually have my guys say, hey, I'm dating multiple people for the purpose of finding the person that I really want to be with. And I just want you to know that that's really important to me. And I'll let you know if I'm going to have plan to have sex with them or with you or anything like that. Like I'll be very open and honest about what's going on, but this is really important to me, to be able to discern exactly what I want, and not just settle for someone who is nice or hot, you know, actually find a life partner. So that's worked for several of them. They've done that. They've said that directly to women. And it might be, I've never had a woman say it to a guy, but I mean, I think some feminine some feminine coaches don't tell them to like say it to guys, but like you're just dating multiple people. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Well, one of my favorite dating coaches of all time, the OG Pat Allen, she says to say, when a guy says, are you dating other people? She says to, for the woman to smile and say, aren't, of course, aren't you? Like if they ask, but don't lead with it and be like, oh, I'm dating other guys. You know, I hope somebody, you know, figures it out. But just if there's nothing to hide, you just assume that, like you said, dating is socializing. And then when you want to be intimate with someone, you negotiate exclusivity and monogamy. And that's what I think is not so happening in the younger generation. I wanted to talk to you about that. It's kind of like, it's called, as you know, because you're a dating coach, hangout culture, where a lot of guys just want to invite women to come over and quote unquote hang out or Netflix and chill. We all know what that means. And they're not willing to date and wine and dine. So are those any of the guys you coach, or just that's not someone that would invest in a dating coach because they're not looking for a monogamous relationship? But there are a lot of guys out there that are just wanting to like have women hang out with them.
Yeah. I mean, in every culture, in every society, there's going to be people who are not, or who are like, I mean, what I was going to say is that I've actually been manipulated by someone like that. Like they lied to me and they said they wanted a relate. They said all the right things to get me. And I knew, but the thing is though, is that you, I knew, but he was so hot that I didn't care. Like he's so hot. Which was a really bad decision.
So yeah. Really
bad, like it tore me up emotionally. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, none of my guys are like that. They all want to, like men, I would say whatever you focus on, like if you're focused on like, well, men are like this, you know, there's this culture of men doing this. All men want to do is watch TV and video games with me and like, mm-hmm. And like have sex and like eat food. Then that's what you're going to see out in the world. But if you choose to see, because there's everything's existing all of the time right now. So every possibility in your head's existing. So if you choose to be like, oh, well, I'm a queen and guys, I want guys to take me out to fancy restaurants, like even imagining yourself already going out on the dates in the fancy restaurant and him like inviting you on a boat or like buying you a really nice present and the way that he talks to you and the way that he looks. I mean, like I'm living proof that that works. So, because before I would be like, yeah, all they want is sex and blah, blah, blah. And I would make fun of all of the guys that I was dating to all of my friends, you know, like trash talk them.
Yes.
And I would get so high, like energetically off of that. And then we would just all bitch about our relationships and how horrible people were. And then I realized, I was like, oh gosh, I shouldn't be doing that. It's like, that's part of the problem. Cause that energy attracts more of that energy and focusing
exactly.
on it. So as
yeah.
soon as I shifted like night and day different.
And with money, you know, I coach women with their financial abundance as well as their romantic lives. And it's like, if you bitch about everyone, I hate my job, I hate my boss, you know, this job sucks, then you're just going to manifest like no money and more jobs that suck. But if you talk about how great the guys you are dating are and what you love about them, then you're going to manifest other great guys and the qualities that you love. So the law of attraction works the same in every area of life. That's why it's so powerful.
And the one thing, wait, I just want to add one thing to that. Yes. Because I know you probably already do this in your coaching too, but just to present this for people, it's really about feeling it, experiencing it physically in your body, like it's already happened.
Yes.
Well, you can think it, vision it, and use that to get you into the feelings and the ways of being and the character traits that that woman embodies, because you already have the ability to tap into that right now in this moment. So if you can give yourself that fulfillment, that love, that prosperity feelings, and walk around in the world like that, like you already have it, you'll trick your mind, and then your mind's going to like see it everywhere. And then it's just going to happen.
Like, absolutely.
Obviously you might take some actions too, but your actions are going to be directed from that place.
Yeah. I even tell my clients, if they want to be engaged, to buy like a cheapy fake engagement ring and wear it around, and then see yourself as engaged. You know, when you have your hands on your steering wheel, or when you go out, have like a $5 cheapy engagement ring. So,
oh my God, I'm going to do that. I have to take it off when my sort of freak out my boyfriend. He was divorced before we started dating, so he's like open to it, but like, you're like, where did you get that?
I wouldn't wear it in front of him, but that would scare him. But like, you know, when you're out and about doing errands during the day and all that.
Actually, it might be really funny, because maybe it wouldn't scare him, because I'm always like, I want to get married at Burning Man. Like, I'll tell him, I'll talk about it sometimes. Yeah.
That would be a great book, Burning Man Bride. There you go. So this is we're getting into X-rated. So I have to change my YouTube video, not child friendly, note to self. So why are so many men addicted to porn?
Ooh, this is a good one. And it actually makes me a little emotional.
Aww.
Yeah, because it's because of my empathy for them, and the people who I've worked with. I've worked with some people, you know, who that's one of their challenges, and it's because they feel rejected. It's because they feel rejected, and they use it to manage, just like any addiction, they use it to manage their emotions. So if And it just became a pattern. It really just became a pattern over time. And porn is so visually, because men are stimulated by their visuals, right? Like that's why you want them to look like how you look, is because that's what attracts them. And so the porn is so over the top, like so many people, so many orifices, so many like focus on the actual genitals and the intensity of it, that it actually is like, when they watch it, I've had some guys say like, it feels like they're there with, like when I'm watching it, it's like, we're all together. So they feel also, they not only get off sexually with it, but they get off emotionally. Like they get to be a part of, like, essentially they're a part of, and a lot of them have had challenges. Like they've either been denied sex in a marriage for many years and didn't work on it, you know, emotionally, with emotional intimacy, they just went to porn instead. Or they've had a hard time like ever, like having a sexual experience with a woman. They've been denied over and over again. And so, and some, unfortunately, some young guys, it's like video games, you know, like they do that instead of relating to people, because unfortunately you could go through all of school, including college, and never learn how to relate to another human being, like in the way that we're talking right now.
Right.
So, that's why I'm crying, because because I feel it. Yeah.
So they're doing it from, if they're addicted, they're doing it from a not healed place. They are feeling so much rejection and so much fear of women or relating or not being enough, that they just get addicted to porn.
Exactly.
Is it possible for them to recover from their addiction to porn and define a loving, committed, long-term relationship?
Yes, I actually have experiences of that too, as well, supporting people through that. It comes, a lot of it is somatic. So our mind with addiction and in any area, our mind has attached that thing to be the pleasurable thing. And pleasure actually means survival on a certain level, like being satisfied, you know, especially for men in their sexuality to have that. That's like procreation, right? So even though they're not making babies, but falls into the same like release. And so when what I support men in doing is detaching from the pleasure of pornography and instead seeing the pain. So like focusing on the pain and everything that it's going to cause in their life long term, and really getting them to experience that pain somatically in their body instead of focusing on the pleasure and the release. So much so that the pain becomes associated with the act of it.
Yeah.
And the pleasure aspect is gone. And then focusing on a future of what it would look like without it, and doing the same practice of being embodied and visioning that. Now, there's another piece too. I do believe with addiction that you need to be able to admit that you're powerless over it, like that you're powerless over the craving of it. Some of my guys are spiritual, some of them are not. I would recommend though, 12-step programs for anyone who it does have an issue with pornography. Like if you don't want to get coaching,
SA and SLAA are incredible 12-step programs.
Yeah. Yeah. They really do help a lot of guys recover off of porn as well as like a lot of other things. But, yeah, some of my guys are spiritual, and some of them are not. Some of them don't understand like that 12-step model. So I basically have them do this emotional process of letting out all the resentment, but not in like a cognitive way, in like an emotional release way. So things that happened in their childhood, things that happen, like I think that there's always some underlying wound, like you were saying, and if you don't address it, if you don't address it in some way, it would pop back up even if you took away all the pleasure from right. But you want to do both. So I think any like, or EMDR therapy, somatic experiencing therapy, and a coach who really does engage all of those aspects is really supportive. The other thing that I know too is that when you stop using porn, you might not have an erection during sex, like actual sex with a woman.
Mm-hmm. It desensitizes men to real sex.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of tantric practices though that you can do on yourself even to reconnect yourself with like just normal stimulation and without any of the visuals, you know. There's some really great ones actually in Tantric Mag. There's some great ones for women too, tantricmag.com. Really great things for breathing for women, because some women have a hard time orgasming too, you know? So, and being okay with not getting an erection, you know, being okay with like, taking some time to, I also too, I know a lot of women get desensitized with vibrators,
mm-hmm.
you know, then they can't orgasm either. So, and then the other thing that I would say that really does help them like recover is actually being able to have, once they've let go of the trigger of the craving, like they've rode the wave, like they said, like, no matter what, I'm not going to do this. even if it's really uncomfortable and I feel like I'm going to die, like I'm not going to do it. And they're praying, meditating, doing whatever they need to do, to calling a friend, talking to people to not, you know, to not do that. Like, including bawling their eyes out in bed in pain, you know, like whatever it takes. And, after that, to get them back going in, their sexuality. Yeah. There's that tantric mag stuff, but there's also, you can visualize. So, when men visualize pornographic scenes in their head, it's not as detrimental to them as watching porn is.
Right.
And it actually can hold that space in between, and allow them to have an erection. Or if their partner is comfortable, talking to them about like dirty talk, you know, or like sexually explicit graphic talk, they're like, a woman can support a man by talking in that way to get his, like, visual memory stimulated beyond just the traditional act of sex with a man and a woman. So, even if though you are having like regular, like, not kinky, even not even kinky sex, just like regular sex, you can still, with what you're saying,
right,
get him into that space or have him do it on his own.
Like the Poison song, "Talk Dirty to Me."
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. If a man, this is the last question. If a man says to a woman, you know, I'm not looking for anything serious, I just want something casual, should a woman, if she wants a monogamous partner, run, or can she convert him into wanting something serious?
No, do not convert. Never, never convert. No matter what it's about. No matter, never convert in anything. Never make him a better, you can't make him better in bed. I mean, maybe you could, but you can't make him work harder. You can't make him make more money. You can't convert him. Do not convert for any reason whatsoever. If they're not a match for you, then they're not a match for you. They're telling you exactly how they are. And the reason why they're telling you that is because they're an honest person who, like, cares about people. So you're not going to, and if you're going to try and convert them, then that's actually like manipulation in a way. I mean, then you're falling into this like, oh, if I could just, I'll be sexier enough, or I'll make him like, I'll pay his rent. Even like I used to do that. I used to like take care of guys to convert them. Like I was be the masculine provider to convert them. Like, and you're just going to build, like, twisting yourself up and like spinning your, like, it's going to take up all this energy from everything else that you're doing in your life, and you're going to be anxious, and then they're not going to convert anyways. 9 times out of 10, I would say they're not going to do it anyways. So, yeah. If a man says he's only into something casual, I mean, a very, aware woman who like understands that she might have some attachment could like be like, okay, well, let's just have sex, you know? But you got to be very, very careful with that. And if you're very attracted to him, then you don't want to do that. Like, if you're like, oh, he would just might be nice to have sex with, like, he's not my guy. You could do that. But overall, if you have sex, if you like have a relationship, even just emotionally, you go down that path, you're only setting yourself up for severe like withdrawal and loneliness and pain, because he's not in it the way that you are. So, as women, we build up, oxytocin in our bodies, both yeah. sexually and emotionally. And so it's really dangerous to engage with a man for us specifically, like for our mental health. Like I'm saying, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
If we can't have that separation of like, okay, this is only casual. And if you can't have that, and most people can't, unless if they're like,
women, because yeah. we bond so much that we, a purely sexual relationship, we want it to be romantic so badly that we end up creating a fantasy that's not even there. So women, if a man tells you they're just looking for something casual, And if you don't want something casual, just move on, because both Lindsay and I have tried to convert them and it's excruciatingly painful. So please learn from our mistakes. And there are enough men out there that do want a monogamous committed relationship that you don't have to convert the guys who just want casual lovers. That's the beauty of it. Like you said, there's 7 billion people and the majority of men, they do want partners. So Lindsay, this has been amazing. I can see why your male clients love you. You're so compassionate toward men that you actually cried, which is so sweet. I love how much empathy and support you give the men. So how, if there are any men listening to this that want your support or coaching, how can they get in touch with you?
I would check me out on Instagram. It's where you can see more of my content and actually reach out to me to have a call with me on the phone to talk about how I can support you to find your ideal relationship or heal from a past relationship in 90 days. So my Instagram is my name and coaching. So it's at Lindsay Marie, Lindsay with an E, Marie Coaching. And yeah, you can find me there.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. The women that are listening have learned so much about men from you, and the men that are listening, I'm sure, have felt so supported and understood. You were amazing, and I cannot wait to share this when this comes out on the iTunes. But if you're listening on Instagram, share it, take a screenshot. If you're listening on Facebook, tag a friend. And if you're listening to the actual podcast, take a screenshot, share it on your stories, tag me and Lindsay. We'll definitely reshare it and give you a shout out. We really appreciate any kind of sharing and promoting of the podcast you can do. If you want to take 90 seconds and leave a 5-star review, that's so appreciated. This is an organic and organic grassroots movement. There's no paid advertisers. So we rely on our beautiful, wonderful listeners to spread the word on how more people can feel balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thanks so much, Lindsay. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you, Rebecca. Love you.
Love you.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all 7 aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant.